Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building a selector dubstyle darkside intro to Stort from scratch in Ableton Live 12, with that jungle and old school D&B feeling in mind. So think murky, heavy, teasing, and very DJ friendly. This is the kind of bass idea that sits at the front of a tune and tells the room something serious is coming. The big idea here is simple. We're not trying to make a perfect polished bass patch first. We're trying to create a printed intro statement that feels like a selector dropping a dangerous record into the mix. It should have weight, a bit of smoke, and enough control to sit over a stripped-down break without smashing the whole arrangement apart. Start with a very simple source. Open operator or wavetable and keep it basic. A sine, triangle, or a restrained saw or square-based shape is enough. The cleaner the source, the more control you have when the dirt comes in later. Write a short 1-bar or 2-bar MIDI phrase in the low range, somewhere around C1 to G1, and keep the idea simple. A root note, an answer note, and hold often works better than a busy line. Why this works in D&B is because the intro bass needs identity, but it also needs space. Jungle and old school D&B are built on tension and movement, not constant low-end chatter. If the phrase is too busy now, the later distortion will just make it messy instead of powerful. What to listen for here is whether the melody already feels ominous before processing, and whether the phrase has a clear statement and reply shape. If it already sounds like a dark answer to the drums, you're on the right path. Next, shape the amp envelope so the notes behave like an edit, not like a soft synth pad. Keep the attack fast, the decay fairly short, and the release tight. You want the notes to stop cleanly. If you want the bass to punch between drum hits, keep the notes short and percussive. If you want a little more dub pressure, let the decay breathe just a touch so the tail smears into the space between hits. This matters because in old school D&B, articulation is everything. A heavy bass can still feel edited. In fact, it usually should. If the groove starts feeling blurred, shorten the decay before you reach for more effects. That's often the real fix. Now build the distortion chain. A solid starting point is EQ8 into saturator into overdrive, then another EQ8 after that. First, clean out any useless rumble below the very lowest area if needed, so the distortion doesn't fold over on nonsense. Then add saturator to thicken the tone and overdrive to bring out that rude, smoked-out edge. Finish with EQ to tame any harsh spikes in the upper mids. A useful mindset here is to distort the character, not the sub. You want the bass to feel damaged in the speakers, not unstable in the foundation. If the tone starts getting fizzy, that's a sign you've gone too far. For this style, usually a thick, dirty, controlled tone is better than a bright, aggressive one. You can also flip the order depending on the flavor you want. Saturator first into overdrive gives you a smoother, thicker, more smoked-out result. Overdrive first into saturator gives you a harsher, more cracked-up edge. For jungle and old-school D&B, the smoother route often feels more authentic and usable. The harder route is there if you want something more vicious. Now we split the low end from the dirty layer. This is one of the most important parts of the whole lesson. Keep the sub clean and steady, and let the distortion live mostly in the low mids and mids. You can do this with an Audino effect rack or by separating layers onto different tracks. The clean sub layer can stay simple, often just a sine or triangle with no heavy processing. The dirty layer should be high-passed so the very bottom octave doesn't get chewed up. What to listen for is whether the sub still feels centered and solid in the chest, and whether the dirty layer adds menace without making the bass feel wide or unfocused. If the bottom starts wobbling, the issue is usually that the distortion is hitting too low. Don't just keep turning things up. Keep the foundation clean. From there, add movement, but keep it controlled. Auto filter is usually the safest first move. You can low pass or band pass the dirty layer and animate the cutoff slowly over 1 or 2 bars. A little resonance is fine, but don't turn it into a squeal. If you want more dub character, filter delay can work too, but only on the dirty layer and with low feedback. The goal is a bit of pressure and echo on the tail, not a wash that smears the whole intro. What you want to hear is the bass opening and closing like it's breathing through a box. The groove should still read clearly even while the tone shifts. If it starts sounding like a trance riser or a festival sweep, it's too dramatic for this line. In D&B, this movement should feel like the dub system is being pushed, not like it's building to a hands-in-the-air moment. Once the tone feels strong, print it to audio. This is where the idea becomes a real selector dub edit instead of just a patch. Resample the bass onto a new audio track, or freeze and flatten if that suits your workflow. The reason to commit here is that these kinds of intros often sound best when they're treated like recorded character, not endless synthesis. And honestly, this is where the magic starts. Once it's audio, you can chop the best hits, reverse tails, stretch gaps, and build a phrase that feels more human and more like a DJ edit. Keep your original synth version saved and muted so you can compare. Name the audio clearly so you know which print is which. That alone will save you time later. Now edit the printed audio into a proper intro pattern. Think in one bar or half bar pieces. A strong old school structure might be one hit with space, then a reply phrase with a longer tail, then a repeat with a small variation, and then a stripped back moment that sets up the drop. This works because the bass is answering the drums instead of sitting on top of them all the time. A good arrangement might feel like this. One bar of bass stab with the break, then a small gap or a tail, then a stronger reply, then a little pause, then a variation that leads into the drop. That asymmetry is important. Jungle and old school DNB often feel alive because the phrases shift just enough to stay dangerous. What to listen for now is whether the bass reads as a rhythmic phrase instead of random noise. If you can hear the call and response, you're in the pocket. If it just sounds like a loop texture, tighten the edits and leave more space. Bring the drums in early. Don't spend too long designing this in isolation. Put the bass against a break, a kick snare pattern, or a simple roller loop. This is where you find out whether the bass is helping the tune or just sounding cool on its own. Listen for whether the bass masks the snare crack, fights the kick transient, or crowls the low mid so much that the break loses energy. If the snare disappears, trim a little area around the lower midrange or reduce how dense the distortion is. If the kick loses impact, shorten the note length or move the bass slightly off the transient. This is the real DNB test. A sick sound that doesn't sit with the drums is not actually useful yet. A good reminder here, if the sound works in context, trust that more than how dramatic it sounds soloed. In this style, the best move is often the one that gives the drums more room, not the one that sounds biggest on its own. As you get close to the end of the intro, automate just a little tension into the drop. You might open the filter slightly, increase saturator drive by a small amount, or thin out the low end so the drop can land cleaner. Keep it subtle. Don't automate everything. In dark DNB, too much motion can make the intro feel gimmicky. A strong pre-drop move is usually restraint first, then a slightly more open middle, then one final clipped bass hit, and then a small gap before the drop. That gap matters more than people think. The drop feels bigger when the intro actually knows when to shut up. Before you finish, check mono compatibility. Make sure the sub stays centered and the dirty layer doesn't create phase problems. If the bass gets hollow or weak in mono, remove wideness first and simplify the processing. The low end has to survive in headphones, a car, and a club system. That's non-negotiable in DNB. Now, a really useful bonus mindset for this kind of sound is to treat it as a print and edit job, not a perfect synth patch exercise. The fastest route to a strong dark intro is usually this. Make it rude enough to commit, then shape the phrase in audio. If you're still obsessing over oscillator choices after the groove is already working, you're probably avoiding the actual arrangement decision. Also, compare two versions if you can. Keep one print that's slightly cleaner and another that's a bit dirtier. Soloed, the dirtier one may feel more exciting. In the mix, the cleaner one might actually win, because the drums already supply enough aggression. That comparison teaches you what is really helping the track. So to recap, the process is, start with a simple source, shape a tight MIDI phrase, distort the mids not the sub, separate clean low end from dirty character, add controlled movement, print it to audio, edit it into a phrase, test it against drums, automate just a bit of tension, and keep the whole thing mono safe and mix ready. If you do it right, the result should feel like a dangerous dub intro with purpose. Deep, rude, rhythmically clear and ready to tee up the drop without choking the mix. Now jump into the practice exercise. Build a 4-bar selector dub intro bass phrase using one synth, stock Ableton devices, no more than 4 processors after the instrument, and make at least one resampled audio version. Keep it monosafe, keep it edited, and make sure it still works with the drums. Then try the challenge and push it out to 6 bars with a cleaner version and a dirtier version. That's where this technique really starts to sound like a finished jungle record. Go make something dark, controlled, and deadly.